איתנו היום, ולא רק רשת, בראד גרינברג, מאמן מכבי אשדוד ועוזר מאמן נבחרת קנדה בכדורסל. לבראד גרינברג גם קריירת NBA מפוארת, בין השאר שימש כמנכ"ל הפילדלפיה 76ers ובחר את אלן אייברסון בדראפט של 1996. איתי סימי ריגר ואני יניר רובינשטיין. הרעיון התפרס על פני שני חלקים. נצא לדרך עם החלק השני. Pitino gave an interview to Israeli media a couple of days ago, and he had this quote that the NBA has become an all-star show on a nightly basis, and that basketball in its purest form can be found in Europe. What are your thoughts?
I think, Rick and I spoke about that earlier today, that the quality of basketball in the EuroLeague is more of what we both grew up with watching when it was played well, you know, a little bit more structure, a little bit more discipline, teams that have a little bit more of a system. You know, the NBA has a system, but now that, you know, the system is really based on this analytic belief that threes, layups, and free throws are all that counts, and everything in between doesn't make mathematical sense. And as a result, you've got teams that are shooting, you know, 30, 40, 50 threes in a game.
Yeah, but that's funny coming from Pitino, because when that rule came out, he was at Providence, and he had everybody shooting threes.
Yeah.
Donovan and that whole crew were shooting threes.
They did, but I wonder if you looked at it now, if it was just more than people were shooting at that time, and not necessarily anything like it. So, I mean, my guess is, if you looked at Providence stats, my guess is they didn't take 15 threes a game, you know, which at that time was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the year they had an experimental. It was one of my earliest years in college coaching at St. Joe's. It was probably like the fourth year, so it would have been like 81, 82. I'm not sure before it officially came into college. But we had a player that was a good shooter in an early season non-conference game when the rule was being experimented with. We gave that kid the green light to shoot him, and he shot like a dozen in a game. And he only made a couple, so it was like, this is crazy. You know, this is not going to be the way to play. But, like, little do we know that, you know, 35, 40 years down the road, it was going to be something that had literally taken hold in the NBA.
Yeah, but you also have to realize the rules changed in the NBA. I mean, you can't guard anybody, basically, now, like you did in the 80s and 90s, where you could bottle up, and, you know.
Or even 10 years ago.
Yeah, or even 10 years ago. They changed. The rules have basically changed for the offense, you know, in favor of the offense and against the defense.
There's more freedom of movement, no doubt about
that. And also the whole insanity of the big guys shooting threes. That's crazy. You know, I did a game the other day where Lopez was shooting threes, you know.
And the kid from Orlando, Bamba. He's shooting threes.
I mean, it's, you know, The big man has basically been eliminated.
But you both are talking about offense. I mean, I think Pitino was also referring to how the defenses are actually much more meaningful in Europe.
His impression, though, is EuroLeague basketball is very good, first of all. Very good. And almost a more pleasing to the eye game than what right now the NBA to some degree has become, when you see a lot of games with just a lot of quick, long shots. Like, you know, the pace is incredible in the NBA. The game is so fast. I think there's a little more control to the game in the EuroLeague, for sure.
Yeah, but you have to realize the bottom half of the EuroLeague, the last eight teams are basically fair to middling. The upper-level teams are really good, you know. And you also, I mean...
Oh, but that's the same in the NBA, right?
What?
That's the same
in the NBA. Yeah, but you also have to realize the coach in Europe runs the team. It's not like that in the NBA anymore, except in a few teams. This is why Spoelstra does, in Miami, He can't do other places because he has Riley behind him and he gives him full credit. And he's making these guys practice every day, even though there's a game. And they're taking weight checks. And if they're over the thing, they get fined. You know, I mean, you have to realize if you look at Miami, every game they play, an overtime game, they win in double figures. Not just win the game, they win by 10, 12 points. That's why Butler went there. He couldn't deal with Minnesota, with a team that wouldn't play any defense. After Thibodeau left, you know, he lost his mind. These guys are spoiled brats. Wiggins and Cat and all these guys, they're spoiled brats. I don't want to play defense. I don't want to guard anybody.
Miami has, I think, at least three players. I don't even know which ones they are, but at least three players that are minimum salary players.
Oh, without a doubt.
That play. They're not just on the roster. They log minutes. Non-drafted guys, they always have done a great job in player development.
Yeah.
They really have. Yeah. They've taken chances with guys that maybe weren't physically elite and then worked with them to get them to be as elite an athlete as they could become. Maybe guys that were heavier that they said, you know, we're gonna get you guys in shape, or guys that maybe, you know, just
didn't have the upper body strength and stuff like
and
that.
And they do a great job with it.
And that's the difference between, you see them play basketball. They play basketball. Teams of Popovich, they play basketball. I think, you know, I was really surprised with the Milwaukee that I did the other day. Very, very difficult to, you know, I thought they would be more of a team-oriented type of thing.
Well, they've got Greek Freak, who's just insane.
Yeah, I'm not talking about, but they
play an open game and, you know, they've figured it out. It works for them. It works for them. I mean, shit, they won 17 in a row, whatever, before they lost. Yeah. I mean,
that's
hard to do.
That's an interesting point, because actually in the World Championship in China, the Greek Freak suddenly became a human. You know, he was very stoppable.
Yeah, I mean,
when you change the rules, like you said, like when the rules are FIBA rules,
it's harder. It's that about for a guy. Teams can, you know, clog the paint a lot easier.
To contrast, you know, what some people say is better in Europe, some things are also better in the NBA. And it's hard for me to, you know, I've seen a lot of games there and I'm starting to see games here. And maybe you know, you have more experience. Is it somehow the front office structure runs better in the NBA or management is somehow more professional? Or what is it that
management is definitely more professional. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, you have EuroLeague teams that are big, big clubs that have had tremendous success, but players don't get paid for months. I mean, they don't get paid. You know, the clubs say, yeah, well, you know, we're having trouble meeting payroll. Next month we'll take care of it, or the next month. I mean, it's not uncommon. There are players that are going to be playing tonight here in Tel Aviv that still are owed money from last year.
Really?
There are guys that, you know, you wonder why they're not playing better. I think some of those guys are like saying, wait a minute.
Danny Franco is coaching in Nauru. They own three paychecks from Apollo Tel Aviv. They own $36,000. And they brought another coach and they're paying him and they're paying players. It's insane. You know, and you got general managers that are getting coupons from bringing players.
Yeah, the NBA.
They don't have that.
Don't worry about that stuff. The NBA is, the teams are super professional. They're responsible. You're not worried at all about whether you're going to have money in your account, you know, at the end of every month.
Except for the Knicks.
No problem. No problem. It's a completely different world.
Okay. Now, I wanted to close the circle and connect with our previous guest, Neno Ginsberg. So you're now assistant coach for Canada national team.
I was this past year in the World Championship.
And from what I hear, you might be matching up against the Czech Republic in the qualifying games.
Yeah, and Greece. Greece is in that.
And Greece,
that
and
pod
also Turkey.
Also. Yeah,
and, what do you think? I mean, who's going to make it?
Well,
Neno or you?
I think a lot of Team Canada's success will depend on, you know, getting more NBA players, the most talented Canadians that are playing for the most part of the NBA. I think there are like 20 Canadian players that have affiliations with NBA teams right now. So that's the whole key. I mean, will Jamal Murray play? You know, will Shai Gilgeous-Alexander play? Will Dwight Powell play? Will Kelly Olynyk play? You know, will Ken Birch play? Will Corey Joseph play? There's just a lot of guys that are real good. And the key is how many of them will stay healthy, will commit, and will be part of the team, because there's a lot of talent. More NBA players potentially on Team Canada than any team that will be playing in this qualification phase.
It's amazing how many, you never heard of college scouts going to Canada, because all they played there was hockey. You know, and all of a sudden you've got all these really good players. I mean, basketball has taken off. I mean, that has a lot to do with Toronto. You know, that all of a sudden they're seeing a new game that they really had no idea what was going on.
There's a ton of talent. R.J. Barrett, you know.
Yeah, he's a player.
The guy in San Antonio, Lyles.
Right? Yeah, right.
There's so many. So it really just depends on, you know, how many of those guys commit. You know, if a guy is playing deep in an NBA season, you're talking about going into June, and teams will be training in June, and like a third week in June is when those qualifying tournaments are.
Right. I think Nando's really hoping Milwaukee gets pretty far.
Yeah. You know what? It's Rick Pitino said that to me today. He said, yeah, I got to have the Bucks lose. You know, so the guy comes ready to play.
Oh, right. And Pitino's coaching Greece.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Olympiacos players don't want to play. On the national team, they already said they don't want to play.
Because the Panathinaikos coach is playing?
Yeah. Because the Panathinaikos coach is coaching the national team.
Yeah.
They should go one step further and say we're going to play for Turkey.
And get shot.
Do you think it's really enough to just have a couple all-stars show up? I mean, because like we've seen in China that some of these teams that are playing together for a couple of years and really well coached, they can actually do better than some of these stars.
I think there's no guarantee just by having those players play, but certainly it increases your chances to put a really strong team out on the court if more talented guys. Like this past summer, we had Corey Joseph, who played a little bit in Canada, but then didn't join us until we got to China. We had Kem Birch, and that was it. Kelly Olynyk was with us, but banged his knee in an exhibition game, so he didn't play. And the rest of the team was made up of, you know, good players, but not the level of the NBA players. I mean, Kevin Pangos, you know, who plays in Barcelona, but, you know, is injured so far. Kyle Wilcher, who plays for Turk Telecom in Turkey. You know, didn't have a lot of guys that were NBA level. Good players,
right.
but you know, not Jamal Murray, not Dwight Powell, not Olenek, certainly, you know, not a lot of guys that are, you know, really, really good players. All the teams that are going to be there, certainly capable, they're all good teams.
Anything else, Simi?
About that?
No, about anything before we wrap it up.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you a theoretical question. How do you see Israeli basketball in 10 years?
Wow. You know, I think it's going to get better and better. I think there's pretty good coaching. I think the last 2 years, that under 20 team proved that they have some young talent that can develop. I think it'll be very interesting to see what impact the rules have on developing some of these young players. I actually think the Russian rule was good for Israeli basketball development, because you always had two Israelis on the court and you needed two subs.
That's right.
So you always had to have like four that were going to play for the most part.
That's exactly right.
And now you don't have that. Now the better teams don't necessarily play four guys. Some do. Some teams don't have to.
Sure.
You know, they can play with an 8-man rotation and, you know, four of them are going to be import players, and maybe two Israelis play a lot of minutes and two other guys don't play quite as many minutes. So I don't think quite as many guys get on the court as much.
All right. I have no more questions for the young man.
You rest your case.
No, I rest my insanity.
Well, Brad, thanks so much for taking the time to come down here. It's great to talk to you.
Nice. I'm looking at these donuts on the table there. Like, you know, it's killing me. These donuts. I've shown some discipline.
Let me ask you something.
Low carb diet.
Let me ask you something.
What's that?
Do you eat fish?
Yeah, of course.
Sydney, I thought of football, Sean.
I'm not too big.
Batshon. Okay, Batshon. You said it a bite, huh?
כוכבת עליון זה דנה, היא מפנקת אותנו, היא אוהבת אותנו.
דנה, את הטבחית הראשית?
כן, אני את הבחדר ראשית כרגע.
מה? מי פיצרו?
פיצרו את הסבך הראשי הקודם.
וכמה זמן את עוברת פה? בערך
מה שפתחו, 5 חודשים.
5 חודשים.
כל חדש, נכון.
כן.
איך הגעת לזה?
איך הגעתי למה? לבצ'ון?
כן.
דרך אופר, שהיה פה השף.
כן.
והוא הביא אותי לפה לעבוד איתו, בתור הסושפית שלו.
עכשיו תגידי לי, את נהנית?
אני נהנית מאוד.
קשה לך?
קשה לפעמים,
כן.
אין ספק. לפעמים יש רגעים במטבח לא קלים, אבל כשאני רואה אותך, סימי, אני תמיד נהנית.
איך טוטו, הבוס, הבעל הבית?
טוטו נהדר, לב טוב. נהדר? לב טוב.
כן?
כן.
איך הוא בתור בעל הבית?
אחלה בעל הבית.
באמת, אני שואל.
עכשיו אני אומרת באמת.
כן, אבא שלו...
סולימן?
סולימן.
מה איתו?
שליר.
אתם מכירים את סולימן?
לא.
לא הכרתם אותו?
לא.
לא דיברתם איתו אף פעם?
לא. הוא פה? הוא מגיע לפה? כן, פגשתי אותו.
כל הזמן הוא פה.
פגשתי אותו.
הוא נכנס למטבח, בודק אותנו, שאנחנו עושים את העבודה יפה.
כן.
וזה, הוא חוזר לדגים, לפלט.
כן, ואני מבין שפעם הוא היה דייג.
סולימן, אני לא חושבת שהיה דייג.
סבא, הסבא שלו.
הסבא, I'm sorry, טוטו, הסבא.
טוטו, טוטו זה
היה. Right, הסבא הראשון.
נכון.
ואחר כך טוטו.
נכון.
ומי הפלצן?
נכון.
כן? Okay? יש לו מקום על הכיפה. אני בא לפה פעמיים שלוש בשבוע. לא אכלתי ארוחה רעה, מביא את הנכדים שלי, מביא אותו, מביא את הבנים שלי. הכל טוב.
הכיפה.
עכשיו, אני יכול להמליץ לכל אחד, ואני ממליץ לכל אחד, לבוא לכאן, מחירים נורמליים, חברה על הכיפה, דגים, אתה רואה מה שאתה, הכל על הזכוכית, אתה רואה מה שאתה אוכל, על הפלנצ'ה, רואים איך אתה מבשל את זה, האנשים פה נהדרים.
איך האווירה?
אווירה איתך יוצא מהכבר. אבל באמת,
אבל זה כי אתה מוציא ממני את זה.
לא, לא, אני רוצה להגיד לך משהו. דיברתי עם אחד הבוסים, שטוטו איננו. אי אפשר לעבוד פה אם אתה לא נכבד. אי אפשר לעבוד פה, מפטרים אותך על המקום. זה באמת נכון. אי אפשר לעבוד פה אם אתה לא נכבד.
קודם כל תהיה בן אדם. ככה טוטו אומר.
טוטו בעצם הסביר לנו שהמסעדה בהשראה של ברצלונה.
נכון.
בעצם זה מסעדה לפואים
ספרדית. ספרדית, לגמרי. גם בירות מספרד, ספיגר, מאו.
אבל את משוויץ.
נכון.
נו, איזה הכי קל שוויץ, ספרד, מה?
ארץ ספרדיה.
יופי, מצוין.
תודה
לך.
תודה לך. תודה לך.
זה היה עוד פרק של לא רק רשת. הפעם ערכנו את ברד גרינברג. איתי היה סימי ריגר, ואני יניר רובשטיין. עקבו אחרינו בספוטיפיי לפרקים נוספים של לא רק רשת.